All right, good morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 16, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 16. Lord willing, we will end the study of the first letter today. You know, sometimes when you get to the end of an epistle, we might just skim through and think, well, there's not much here for us, but there's a lot in these last verses of 1 Corinthians 16. Let's read from 15 to the end. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Now, Achaia, by the way, was a province of Greece, and Corinth was a city of the province of Achaia. And so the house of Stephanas, they were of the first fruits, some of the first converted in Achaia. And it says of them that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye, church at Corinth, submit yourselves unto them and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Whenever I read that passage, I think of Brother Joe Maldonado, pastor of Hillburn Drive Grace Baptist Church in San Antonio. Whenever I see him, he gives me a holy kiss. Indeed does. He grabs me and he kisses both sides of my cheek. It's a sanctified kiss. It's an expression of love. Now, everybody doesn't do that, but Joe always does that. Blesses my soul. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. So Paul puts his signature on the epistle. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings and your help as we close this letter. I pray that you would feed us with that which you have for us this day, this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Before Paul signed off in his letter to the church at Corinth, he was compelled to recognize and commend some of his helpers, co-laborers. I would like to call them this morning tenacious saints. They were as determined as the Apostle Paul was for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, and they are examples for us, beloved, for our generation. Who are you, Christian? What are you for your generation, for this generation? Brethren, we should emulate their determination and tenacity. Who were these saints? Well, we see their names, Stephanas and his family, Fortunatus, Achaicus, and then there's Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, also called Prisca in 2 Timothy. And then finally, we'll just look at this final sobering warning that Paul gives the church at Corinth. So verses 15 and 16, the house of Stephanas. The house of Stephanas. Paul says there, you know the house of Stephanas. So listen, while Paul was busy preaching the gospel of Christ, ministering to the souls of the saints, and contending with the enemies of the gospel, Stephanas and his family were in the background, ministering and caring for the needs of the saints so that they could attend upon the Lord without distraction and be strengthened in the faith of Christ. So they were taking care of the temporal needs of the church, the temporal needs of the saints. This family was among the first families, as I just said, saved in Corinth. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, I'll show you that. They were also of the small number of converts that had been personally baptized by Paul himself. 1 Corinthians 1:14. Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. There's much to learn, beloved, from the house of Stephanas. In verse 15, if you're back in chapter 16, Paul called them ministry addicts. You know what an addict is. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were determined. They were addicts. You know what an addict is, obviously. Look at Hebrews 6:10 before we move on. Hebrews 6:10. We read here, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The question for us this morning as a church is, who is called in Grace Fellowship Baptist Church to minister to the saints? Yeah, many would say, well, the preacher is. No, we're all called to the ministry of the saints, beloved. What is written of Stephanas and his family ought to be true of all of us. Paul made it clear in his apostolic writings that the churches were undergirded and strengthened by many devoted hands and hearts. Stephanas and his house were a tenacious family. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. How often do we look singularly, though, at the Apostle Paul and commend him as if he single-handedly bore the work and burdens of the churches of that time? How often do we look at that and say, well, if it wasn't for Paul, indeed. But if it wasn't for Stephanas and his house as well. If Paul were here, I have no doubt that he would point to Stephanas and many other devoted servants of Christ, who were not apostles, they were not pastors, they were not preachers, but they were instrumental in ministering to the saints and therefore strengthened the churches and furthered the gospel in that region. They were devoted and determined. They were tenacious. You've heard the term doggedly determined. They were helpers. They were laborers. They were addicts for Christ. Do any of these adjectives describe you to the ministry of the saints of Grace Fellowship Baptist Church? They should. Paul wrote, you know the house of Stephanas. If you went to the church at Corinth, you knew Stephanas and his family. Does the church know you like this? How does the church know you? I know there are limitations of things that some can do, and yet every member of the body of Christ should be a helper to the saints here. I have no doubt if you attended the church at Corinth at that time, it wouldn't be long once you were there that you would know Stephanas and his family. You would say, who is that? And they'd say, that's Stephanas. And therefore Paul wrote, verse 16, he said that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth, he says in verse 16. Listen, Stephanas and his family earned Paul's trust because they had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Paul was able to wholly devote himself to the gospel ministry. He didn't have to ask them to take care of something. He didn't say, did you remember to take care of this family or that? They were what I like to call fire and forget Christians. You know what that means, fire and forget? And listen, this is why Paul commanded the church to submit to them in all their labors. They weren't officers in the church. They weren't pastors. I don't believe they were ministers of the word at all. But Paul says that you submit yourselves unto such, unto them. They had earned Paul's trust. They were faithful servants of Christ. Paul's apostolic ministry to the churches and to us today, his apostolic ministry to the church then and to us today depended on the help and ministry of Stephanas and his family. Consider the ministry of the Apostle Paul at Corinth if Stephanas and his family were not there. Again, they were fire and forget Christians. You know what fire and forget is? I'll teach you. It's a military term. The Air Force, the military have weapons, actually certain missiles, that they can lock onto a target and fire, and it doesn't have to continue to be tracked to the target. Once it locks on, you can fire and forget. Stephanas and his family, they were fire and forget. Paul didn't have to worry after they were given a task to take care of something. He didn't have to go back and say, "Did you forget to do this?" No, they were fire and forget. Paul didn't concern himself with that, and so he could give himself completely and wholly to the ministry of the word, to the enemies that were afoot. Satan's messengers coming to try and infiltrate the church, Paul could tend to those things that he was called to do as an apostle. But make no mistake about it, Stephanas and his family were as instrumental to the ministry as the apostle Paul. So, beloved, let us follow their example and be addicted to the ministry of the saints. He goes on to say, "I am glad at the coming," in verse 17, I believe we're at, "I'm glad at the coming of Fortunatus," or Stephanas actually was part of this as well. Verse 17, "I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Now, these men were probably the ones that brought the questions in the letter that the church at Corinth wrote to Paul, asking him questions. In fact, you don't have to turn back there, but 1 Corinthians 7:1, Paul said, "Now concerning the things that you wrote unto me," your questions, and Paul began to answer their questions. So they sent a bunch of questions to Paul. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, it seems, were the carriers of that letter. They brought it to Paul. Paul was at Ephesus at the time. They were to Paul personal and familiar faces. They were the faces of the church at Corinth. They brought the letter from the church, but they also brought face-to-face communications with Paul. Paul said, "Listen, that which your letter lacked, that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." So they were able to speak to me and to encourage me, because it says here that Paul's spirit was refreshed by them. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And so they brought news of the church at Corinth to Paul. They encouraged him. Again, "For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Now, understand that these men were, in all probability, the same men that actually took Paul, the first letter to the Corinthians, and carried it back to the church. Think about the massive responsibility of these men. And to them in their time, they were doing nothing more than carrying a personal letter from Paul back to the church. I mean, think about the magnitude of what's happening here to the kingdom of God. Think of the continuing ripple effect of their faithfulness to the ministry of Christ. They carried this letter, the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, the same letter that now sits in your Bible, beloved. They carried the word of God to Corinth. You think they knew that? Paul wrote it and gave it to them, and they took it back. Little did they know the reach, the magnitude of their faithfulness in their ministry. Beloved, every one of us are called to put a gospel stamp on this, our generation, for the kingdom of Christ. Think of these men. Think of the Apostle Paul's ministry without these men that went there to bring the report and to actually carry the letter back. Think of Now, listen, I know that God in his providence, he was going to take care of it, but these men were willing vessels as they went. Beloved, every one of us are called to put our mark on this generation for Christ. Again, what is the ripple effect of your faithfulness to Christ? What is your reach? How does your Christian life reach those in your own personal society? How does your faithfulness to Christ touch those that know you? Again, we have the first letter of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, not only because of Paul the Apostle, but because of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. Paul says, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge these men. Honor them, is what he says. Honor them for their service in the kingdom of Christ and in the church. Honor them who are ministering to the saints in the background. See, you hardly hear anything about Stephanas and his family. We don't hear a lot about Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus and what they did for the kingdom of Christ. But they were instrumental. They were instrumental to the success of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, there are two more saints I want to introduce to you in verse 19. Two more. This is a husband and wife team. I love these two. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. With the church that is in their house. The husband and wife team were Paul's tent-making friends. He met them in Corinth. Turn back to Acts 18. Acts 18. Aquila and Priscilla were both of them determined and tenacious saints. Acts 18. We should ask ourselves, am I a tenacious saint? Am I determined for the kingdom of Christ? Paul said, I am determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is that your determination, child of God? These brethren that we read of, background brethren, yet nonetheless tenacious lovers of Christ, sold out for his kingdom. Acts 18, 1-3, notice, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, he was in Greece, and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart Rome, he expelled them and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he, that is Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. See, that was the impact of the gospel in that time, because there were so many that were saying Jesus was not the Christ. He was an imposter. That's what the Jews were saying. Paul said, oh, no. Paul took the Old Testament scriptures and he said, this is that Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And so he pressed them. And that's what he would do. I love in the book of Acts, it says he went into the synagogues and opened and alleged that Jesus was the Christ. And so here's Aquila and Priscilla, whom Paul met there in Corinth. And Paul took them to Ephesus with him. And notice he left them there to help the church at Ephesus. Look at verse 18, same chapter. It says, Paul after this tarried there yet a good while. We know that he stayed in Corinth a year and 6 months. And it says, after this, he tarried there a good while and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed from thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. I want you to note that her name's mentioned first. Now you might say, well, that doesn't mean anything. I think it might mean something. So he took Priscilla and Aquila with him, having shorn his head, in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. So he left Aquila and Priscilla there. He trusted this husband and wife. He trusted this spiritual couple. I pray the Lord is speaking to you even about that. Now, while they were at Ephesus, they heard Apollos preaching, if you remember that. They heard Apollos preaching in the synagogue. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was very fervent in spirit. He was well-read, a great orator, had good command of the scriptures, and yet he was preaching the baptism of John. So look at verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Here's the problem, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, it's not bad, but you know there's good and better, but there's best. And notice, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know what their message was, because right afterward, they said, listen, John came and paved the way. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but that one came and John saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He's here, he's come, he's died for the sins of the world. So they took him aside. Verse 27, when they were disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews. He didn't just convince them, he mightily convinced them, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Powerful preacher of the word of God. So Paul trusted this spiritual couple in Ephesus. Listen, both Aquila and Priscilla, as Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, Stephanus' family, they were instrumental in the furtherance of the gospel and in the apostolic ministry of Paul. So Aquila and Priscilla were also instrumental in the furtherance of the gospel. Notice it wasn't just Aquila that took Apollos aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It was Priscilla too, or as well, for you English majors. It was Aquila and Priscilla. It was both of them serving Christ together. They were both well read. They were both Bereans. They could both minister the word. Ladies, Priscilla is mentioned first. And notice, turn to Romans 16 before I say that. Romans 16, there's another commendation to them. I want you to understand why Paul is commending these tenacious saints that were in the background. He's commending them because he knows that they were instrumental to his apostolic ministry. Verse 3, look at Romans 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. And we learn a little bit more about them, who have for my life laid down their necks. They laid down their necks for Paul's life. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, not just the Gentile church at Corinth. Like Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, Priscilla and Aquila were greatly used of God for the furtherance of the gospel. Again, Priscilla's mentioned first. In fact, look at 2 Timothy. Let me show you that passage in 2 Timothy 4:19. She is here called Prisca. Prisca. He says, salute Prisca and Aquila, we learn, and the household of Onesiphorus. I think, beloved, she was a virtuous woman, no doubt. And so we learn about these saints. I don't know who wrote this quote, but I'm going to read it to you. A good man draws a circle around himself and cares for those within that circle, his woman and his children. Other men draw a larger circle and bring their brothers and sisters within that circle. But some men, or I might add some women, have a great calling. They draw a circle that includes many, many more. Beloved, we ought to all have that reach. We ought to be mothers to the motherless, fathers to the fatherless, mentors to all those that know us. Beloved, we ought to draw a circle, and if I could say a gospel circle, around those that are in our personal society. And you know what? We need to bring more in because we have the message of Christ, brethren. What is the ripple effect of your faith in Christ to those that know you? If there's anything they ought to know preeminently about you and I is that we are lovers of Christ. And that's what brings us to Paul's sobering warning at the end of 1 Corinthians 16:20. Look at it. Paul closes his letter out, these final greetings. And you could note there in verse 20, of course, verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. And I believe he's speaking of Asia Minor there, which is the modern day country of Turkey. Of course, Aquila and Priscilla salute you. They don't just salute you much in the Lord, much. They salute you much. They had hearts for the people of God. And notice the church that was in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. And then Paul signs the letter, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, this is that sobering warning, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed at the coming of Christ, is what that means. Now, this is not the only time Paul used harsh language like this. Look at Galatians chapter 1. If you know anything about the book of Galatians, you know that Paul gives a very quick opening salutation, and then he gets right to the point. There were those that had perverted the gospel of Christ in Galatia. Notice in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, that is, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema is the word. He repeats it. As we said before, so I now say again, or I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, let him be anathema, maranatha. Why? Not because they preached another gospel. That was in Galatians. Here, let him be anathema, maranatha, if they love not the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is that sobering warning to the church, this is Paul's closing lines. And we know from the Corinthian church, from their history and what we've read in this first letter, that there were some problems with love in the church at Corinth. Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Is it possible to have the right gospel? To have all of your biblical theology correct? To be a hater of sin and wickedness, but at the same time to have no genuine love and sincerity for Christ? Or let me say it, to have no sincere love for Christ. Is it possible to have everything right? Is it possible to be a theologically correct church, to hate sin, to hate wickedness, to be able to expose those that lie about the truth? All commendable things. And yet at the same time to have no love for Christ? Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when Christ comes. Galatians 6:24 says this, just listen. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The last verse of Ephesians. In sincerity, incorruptibly, genuinely, from your heart. But is it possible? Yes, it is. Well, let me just let the scriptures answer. Revelation 2. You know we were there recently. Revelation 2 and verse 1. What church? The church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. Look at it. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, verse 1, write. These things saith that he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now listen to the commendation to the church at Ephesus. He commends them. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. It was all good. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That's good. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. That's good. And hast found them liars. All good. And hast borne. Means you've persevered. You've endured through a lot of things. And you have patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored. That's great stuff. And you've not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence, listen, with all of that, he says, remember from whence, and he identifies them like this, thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They had a lot of things right, but they had the primary thing wrong, is they had left their first love. John 14:21, listen to what the Lord Jesus said. He that hath my commandments, that's good, and keepeth them, that's good. He it is that loveth me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. We want you to have good doctrine. We want you to understand the truth of God's word. We want you to behold wondrous things out of God's word. But we don't want you to have an empty. We don't want you to have good theology and no love for Christ. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so, beloved, do you love Christ? Do you remember Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after Christ had risen? You remember what the Lord asked him. Do you love me, Peter? I do. You love me more than these? We can talk about what more than these is later, but do you love me? Three times. Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Christ is asking you, brethren, do you love him? Do you love him? You might be thinking, that's very harsh language. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when Christ comes. That's the language of God, brethren. And so he closes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Don't pass over that so quickly. That's a precious thing that Paul invokes and prays for them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If he was not God, he could bestow no grace. Then he ends, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to close in Romans 16. And we've read this before, but I want to read the first 12 verses and we'll close. And I want you to hear the names and see the commendation of these saints. And Priscilla and Aquila are there. And I want you to see how Paul writes about them. And this was in his epistle to the Romans. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in not, he didn't go over specific things, he trusted her in whatsoever business she had need of you. She was a trusted servant of Christ, and so a trusted servant of Paul. For she hath been a succorer or a comforter of many and of myself also. She's relieved the needs of many of the saints. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks, their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Here's another one of the first converts of Achaia. Salute well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. No doubt they were brethren with Stephanas in his house. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Every one of these background saints, these tenacious, determined saints who did things, they were the right hand, not knowing what the left hand was doing. They were in the background, but they were all instrumental, and they all helped the apostolic ministry of Paul. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They were saved before I was, Paul says. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ, means tested and tried in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, I don't believe she was actually Paul's mother, but she cared for Paul like a mother. And we'll just finish. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Beloved, when you read these names, these faithful servants of Christ, these tenacious saints, the ripple effect of their lives still is expanding. Consider what the apostolic ministry of Paul would have been without any of them. They were all instrumental to the apostolic ministry of Christ, and don't ever think that you're not. If you think that this is a one-man show and the preacher's the only one, he's the only one that ministers to the saints, you're very, very wrong. First thing, I can't carry the load. Second, I need grace from God. And you know what? It's not the biblical model. If that's the way it is, it's kind of like a head with a dead body. No, brethren, every member of your body participates. In fact, I wanted to close with this verse anyway, Ephesians 4:16, speaking of the body edifying itself. Listen, God has gifted every member of the church to contribute to the health of the church, to minister unto the church, to serve to the church. That's what verse 16 means. Listen, when each part of the body is working properly, the body is strengthened and made healthy, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, every part of the body, the tendons, the ligaments, the blood, the cells, are nourishing the body. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Beloved, that's what the church should be. It should function just like a healthy human body. And so, beloved, I pray that's who we are. If you've not believed the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not a lover of Christ today, I would take heed to that warning at the end of 1 Corinthians. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed at the coming of Christ. This is the word of the Lord, beloved. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, Psalm 2 says. And I pray the Lord would bless this to your hearts. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this powerful ending of chapter 16. Thank you for the letter, the 1 Corinthian letter, Father. We thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ who contributed so much, who laid down their own lives as Priscilla and Aquila did for the life of the Apostle Paul, so that he could, Father, minister to the saints, preach the gospel, write the very New Testament, much of it which we have in our hands. We thank you. Please, Father, help us as we go to our homes. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to each of our hearts. Oh God, that we would all be addicted to the ministry of the saints, that we would all be determined and tenacious saints for your kingdom and for your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.